This is Jay Sekulow. What happens when the deep state weaponizes so-called whistleblowers?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Before I get to the substance of what I want to get into, which is this entire situation, kind of give you an analysis where I see the parts, which are moving parts. I mean, there's no question about that right now. But there's a couple of things I want to get clear. I made a statement this week, or latter part of last week, actually, and I want to reiterate it today, that you've got two aspects of this, and I want to be very clear on how things are handled. You've got the overall constitutional issues that will be addressed both by the president's private counsel, that's us, the White House counsel. There are individuals that are strictly related to the functioning of the government, the classification systems, where things are stored, how that's done. And I was on an interview on CBS News or CBS Morning Show, and the guy that was doing the interview kept asking me the questions that you would ask the White House counsel, and I finally said, what part of this do you not understand? You got the wrong guest here. I don't know if we played that, or maybe we will play part of that. But it was just, it got to the point of absurd. People need to understand everybody's roles here. The other thing that's being discussed is this, you know, is the White House setting up a war room? Is there not going to be a war room? Here's what I want to explain, this war room idea. The war room idea came out of the Clinton impeachment proceedings. That's where this whole war room concept develops. We just went through a real battle. I mean, a real war. And that was with Robert Mueller. And we did this without the institutionalization of a war room internally. The White House did not have a war room as it was known in the Clinton kind of discussion of how it was set up, nor did we at the outside counsel have a war room. We had our lawyers. Of course, technology changed a lot since 1997 and 98. And so you don't, the phraseology doesn't even make sense. But I want to say this. We just went through what is a real war with Bob Mueller without the war room and came out fine. This is a skirmish in comparison. And that's just how I view this right now. Now, there's another interesting development, as there always are in these cases, or it seems to be involving the government and the situation. You remember in the Bob Mueller thing, it was the Peter Strzok and the emails back and forth and documents that were coming and going. Now, there is a change on a document. It would be very interesting to know how long the whistleblower form, the urgent concern disclosure form, that's what it's called, had it pre-existed, where you had to have, and let me put it up on the screen for everybody right now. So this is the way it was set up originally. So you had to have credible, which meant firsthand information, in order to transmit this form. In other words, you had to have firsthand knowledge of an urgent concern for it to exist. That was changed in August of this year. Now, I'd like to find out how long the form was like that. We could maybe find that out. And in August of this year, it was changed to, instead of firsthand knowledge, it was changed to, I know about the information I'm disclosing here, and I have direct and personal knowledge. That's one box. The next box is, I heard about it from others. Harry, I've been practicing law for 40 years. You have been practicing law for a long time, too. Obviously, this already raises significant issues as to what was going on here. Was this even a reportable offense?
Absolutely. So the key question and the reason why listeners ought to be suspicious has to do with this quintessential question. Why did the intel community, in conjunction with the Congressional Research Service, gut the requirement of firsthand whistleblower knowledge with regard to the issue of a matter of urgent concern? The complaint form was revised in August 2019 with no specific date given for the change, just before this new whistleblower complaint was made public. So it's very suspicious, particularly because the form had been changed in December 2018.
Yeah, so it had been in place since 2018, and actually May 24th, 2018 is the date when it was last revised. So it had been in place for, my goodness, a year and a half. I want to find out what even the form looked like before that. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so there's a form if you've got something of urgent concern. And that's how this whistleblower issue started. The form used to say firsthand information, which would make sense because else it's hearsay. That form was first put out in May 24th of 2018, where it said you had to have firsthand knowledge before it could even be processed. In other words, they wouldn't even process it unless it had firsthand knowledge. Mysteriously, the form has changed in when? Last month. So now it's either firsthand knowledge or I heard about it from others. Which, by the way, if this was classified information and you heard about it from others, that could raise a whole serious legal issue. But they changed the form in August of 2019 when, Harry, was the whistleblower report filed, the urgent concern notice.
It was filed in August. And one of the things that we should note is that the internal properties of the newly revised disclosure of urgent concern form requires it to be submitted under the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act. And it shows that the document, the newly changed document, was uploaded on September the 24th, 2019 at 4:25 p.m., just days before the anti-Trump complaint was declassified and released to the public. The markings on the document state that it was revised in August 2019, but no specific date of revision is disclosed, and there is no legal authority for changing the form.
We're going to talk about the legal authority issue in just a moment, but I want everybody to understand what Harry just said and laid out a timeline. Previously, firsthand knowledge. No firsthand knowledge, no report. That's been in place since May of 2018 and probably before that is my guess. August 2019, a change in the reporting. You can now be firsthand knowledge or I heard it from somebody else. We're talking about the legal issue in that in just a moment. Fascinating point here. When is the whistleblower report done? Sometime in August of 2019. I think we should call Bob Mueller and do a Peter Strzok analysis. Bob, where are Peter Strzok's phone records? They don't exist. We let them get wiped out. Oh, I'm sorry. I call that destruction of evidence. What is this? I want to know who was responsible for changing this form. What was the issues that went into changing the form? And how do you respond to that? I want everybody's reaction to this, too. We'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But let me tell you what you can't do. You can't just change a form. It has to be within the context of the law. Harry, there's a serious issue on this.
Absolutely. You must comply with the law. So one of the other questions that comes up, of course, with respect to the whistleblower complaint itself, is with whom did the whistleblower share information before the whistleblower's complaint went public? And was there a violation of the law with respect to the sharing of so-called classified information? But there are also a raft of other questions, including the statutory language itself, which refers to issues which are within the Director of National Intelligence Community's authority. This complaint does not go to any of those statutory issues. So basically, if you read the statute clearly, the statute undercuts the complaint, and it undercuts the complaints of House Democrats who are now on an impeachment train, probably leading to nowhere.
Yeah, I think it is an impeachment train leading to nowhere. I mean, look, I want you to understand what we're talking about here. Just so happens that the form disclosure document, in other words, you could not even file the form previously unless it, for the urgent concern, unless you had firsthand knowledge of the situation. Now, that we know is in place since May 24th of 2018. We know that. The conversation that they're concerned about was, there was a conversation in April and then a conversation in July of 2019. Mysteriously, here we go again, mysteriously, the form has changed. When is it changed? Is it changed in June of 2019 or May of 2019 or July of 2019? No. It's changed in August of 2019. Now, I've asked Will to see if we can find out. It may be hard to get to it. If we know what the form looked like, say, before May 24th, 2018, as far as firsthand knowledge or not. But this tells you exactly what is going on here. We said weaponizing the deep state? You bet. There is no question. I'm taking your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. Jamie's calling from Oklahoma. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you all so much for informing all of us and keeping us informed.
Yep.
I want to go back to when Obama was in the office and 8 days prior to him leaving the office and our president, Trump, being, you know, inaugurated, that Obama signed an EO that allowed 16 agencies, I believe it was,
18,
to share. Is it 18?
Yes.
To share intelligence information with one
Correct.
Another. Therefore, now our president is being attacked from all sides. And
you are 100% correct. For 8 years of the Obama administration, I should say 7 years and about 360 days. Yeah, about 360. Thank you, Harry. About 360 days. They had, I think it was three agencies received this classified information. Information sharing. 5, 6, 7, 8 days before the new president sworn in, it's been fine for 8 years, but let's change it now so that 18 agencies get it. So, Jamie, you are 100% correct. This is utter nonsense. And I want to know the answer to that. I want to know the answer to this issue as well. This is nonsense. You're 100% correct. But, Harry, they're so obvious when they do this. Peter Strzok's phone gets wiped out. Oh, it just happened. It was some kind of protocol. We didn't know. We didn't inventory it. This one, we just happened to change the form.
Absolutely. So the caller makes a very, very important point. Attorney General Lynch and James Clapper, they changed the rules with respect to the dissemination of classified signal intelligence throughout the intel community. Why is that important? Because it facilitates leaking, it facilitates unmasking, and it represents the opening salvo of the deep state's revenge just before President Trump is inaugurated. It's also important to go back to 2015 and 2016 with Operation Crossfire. Investigations were inaugurated first to cripple President Trump's candidacy for president, and secondly, to provide an insurance policy. It appears clear to me that this latest whistleblower complaint follows the same pattern. It represents, at least potentially, clear evidence of the deep state's attempted revenge on this particular president. And it is largely political, and it is not grounded in statutory law.
Let me tell this. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am getting texts and emails from reporters as if this is, we're in another planet here. Okay. And these are friends of mine, so I'm not going to go names. There is so much stuff out there. Let's start dealing with facts. Let's deal with the fact. Was the president allowed to call the president of Ukraine? Yes. Was the president allowed to raise issues of concern, including issues of corruption? Yes. What rule, regulation, or violation or policy was violated by that phone call? First, it was Russia, collusion with Russia. That was nothing. They couldn't, nothing there. Then it was obstruction. Again, nothing. Now it's Ukraine, which will again be nothing. I mean, this it shows you the pattern and practice of what they're trying to do here. That's all this is. And now the dating of these documents, this is wrong. This is, we got to get to the bottom of it. And believe me, we will. But also, I tell you something. If I put on my American Center for Law and Justice hat here, which I am right now, the issues constitutionally at stake here, Harry, are really significant. This is the foundation of how our government is supposed to work, and it is being undercut, being shredded. And that is an issue that doesn't go to, of course, as the president's counsel, I'm concerned about it, but as the chief counsel of the ACLJ and as an organization, this is really a bad and dangerous precedent being set.
You're absolutely correct. So the United States is a republic, and it is grounded in collecting and monitoring the votes of the public. The American people voted via the Electoral College to elect President Trump as the duly elected 45th president of the United States. But there are forces at work in the deep state who dislike this particular president. But it is not their responsibility to select the president of the United States. That is the job of the American people through their elected representatives. This approach taken by House Democrats seeks to undermine that particular process, in part because they fear they will lose the next election.
Yeah, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The land of the absurd. That's what we're dealing with. Here we go. Round two. Ready for action. 800-684-3110. Get your calls in by Facebook and Periscope. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share it with your friends. Great way for you to stay engaged and also to get others involved in the conversation.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
I got to reset this because this is again another one of these moments in these investigations where you realize what is actually going on here. So what you have that has happened here, and this is really important to understand, you have a situation that exists right now, where a form was changed within the days, weeks, certainly not months, because we know that, of this whistleblower report, the urgent concern report being filed. Why is that significant? It could not be filed under the existing May 24th, 2018 form. You had to have reliable firsthand information. Let me put it back on the screen for everybody. Reliable firsthand information. Now, the form is changed. The disclosure of urgent concern form is changed. In August of 2019, put that up on the screen. There it is. I know about the information I'm disclosing here and colon. I have direct and personal knowledge. I heard about it from others. That wasn't on the form before. And it just so happens, Harry, this person heard it from others. And the form happens to get changed.
Not only did this person hear it from others, this whistleblower basically, as he states or she states, heard about it from the news media. So I think it's important to note that the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community's Inspector General's complaint intake form was revamped shortly before the whistleblower complaint became public. This is very, very important, and it relies at least in part on advice from the Congressional Research Service. Generally, the Congressional Research Service does not revise forms which are grounded in statutory law unless the law itself has been changed. But at least according to reports issued by the Federalist Society magazine, it indicates that the Congressional Research Service and the intel community was working on a change which just so happened to be completed shortly before this new whistleblower report was indeed issued. That is suspicious timing. It suggests that the intel community, some members of the deep state, and perhaps some members of the Congressional Research Service may have been engaged in communication designed to cripple this particular president. That certainly violates the law. And we need a complete and thorough investigation.
I want to find the answers to this out because to me, you cannot make this stuff up. Urgent concern required firsthand information until this person decided they had secondhand information and the report mysteriously gets changed. Shocking. Where's Peter Schrock's phone with the text messages? Oh, it's gone. Where's Lisa Page? Oh, we wiped it out. We reissued it to other people. That's okay, right? So you understand, everybody, what this is. Not only are they shredding the Constitution, which includes due process, which this basically is, but they're shredding. The form has changed, and we don't even know the rule justification for the form change.
No, we have no justification for it. In fact, for the intelligence community whistleblowing, it's the most, I'd say, rare, because they warn you how dangerous it is even to be a whistleblower because of the classified information that you may be sharing. So you had better be sure before sharing information, which I think is why they had that first person requirement. All different whistleblowers, all different agencies have different statutes. Yep. The one for the intelligence community was supposed to be the most strict because, one, you're not supposed to be like overhearing things. Two, you have to understand the full ramifications of what you're blowing the whistle on. And you can actually be criminally violating the law if you file a whistleblower report that is wrong, because we hold our intelligence community to a higher standard. And yet, this IG changes the form so that you can overhear things that may be classified, that may be conversations between two heads of state that you had no business overhearing, that had nothing to do with your intelligence job. We don't spy on our president. That you weren't read into, that you weren't brought into, that you take, as Harry said, some from media reports and others from so-called people at the White House, which would be people who would be subject to criminal investigation because they're not covered under this. If they were sharing this with someone who was not privileged to get the information, this person was not. And you've now changed the form so that they can be anonymous and somehow get the cover of the whistleblower statute when you're talking about conversations that the intelligence community and people within should never have access to unless they are given access to specifically, like conversations between a president and another president.
Yeah. Like, and by the way, we're acting like it's good that those transcripts have been released. Like, that's a great thing for the country. Believe me, it's not. I mean, the president did it out of an abundance of transparency. But you can't make a pattern and practice of doing that, let me tell you. Let's go ahead and take Jerry's call. He's calling from Rhode Island.
Hey, Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. Boy, Jamie hit the nail on the head comparing that 17 agency thing, and Harry was, he nailed it too. Who has the authority, IG, to make the change? An IG made this change based on committee notes and suggestions?
Jerry, you're talking about the change to the form, right?
Yes.
So the process for form change, there's normally a review process, and it's, as Harry said, it's based on a statutory or regulatory change in the underlying law, which is absent here.
Yes. So there was no change in the law. There was no change with respect to the circumstances. But on their own authority, it appears that the Congressional Research Service began investigating whether to make a change perhaps a year or so ago. And then the Inspector General accepted this recommendation, even though there was no change in the law. And so it denies credulity to argue that this is a matter of urgent concern when the complainant did not actually hear the conversation, when the complainant basically is relaying information gathered from media reports. And it turns out that there is clear and unmistakable evidence that the whistleblower got the phone call in question between President Trump and the president of Ukraine wrong on many factual matters. So what do we have here? We basically have a largely made up, largely fictional complaint. We should take it seriously. However, the rules were changed, and we should take that even more seriously.
This is like changing the rules in the middle of the game, okay? Or worse than that, in the fourth quarter, and the team it's tied, and the other team is, you know, just fumbled, but now we're not going to count fumbles. How about that analogy? Fumbles don't count anymore. So now you don't have to have firsthand information. You could have secondhand information, or I heard it from others. I mean, first of all, what are you talking about hearing from others? Conversations involving the president? Think about this for a moment. Let that sink in for a moment. Conversations involving the president. All right, we're going to be back here for another 30 minutes. We're going to take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed. We've got a couple lines open up for you. Also, you can get your calls in and questions in by Facebook and Periscope. Good way to do it. Let me say this. Jordan's book was on the Amazon political advocacy book. At one point I looked at it, Jordan, it was like number one in the hardback, number one in the Kindle, and number one in the audiobook.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we're still in like the top 10, and the Kindle's still number one in political advocacy. So I thank everybody who's ordered the book, whether you did it through audio, ebook, hardback, and again, the book is still available. The Next Red Wave, that's important if you haven't purchased it, to purchase it today, thenextredwave.com.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so I've got in my hand, actually, a copy of, I don't know if we have this in the, I'm holding it for our TV and Facebook, Periscope, social media audience. It's called the Disclosure of Urgent Care Form. And this is the Office of Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. And it's very clear that in determining urgent concern, the form that's filled out for urgent concern, in the form that was dated, that was been in place at least since May 24th of 2018, it required, and I think it was before then too, but we're trying to find that. We haven't been able to dig up that form yet, but certainly been in place for over a year and a half. You had to have firsthand information. That form is mysteriously changed in August of this year to say either I know about the information I'm disclosing here and I have direct and personal knowledge, that's one box, or I heard about it from others, which we would call hearsay. But that's on the urgent concern form now, the disclosure form. Now, what's interesting, when is the whistleblower complaint urgent concern forms filled out? August. So Harry Hutchison's been digging into how you change a form, what the process is, what was the time frame. Do we know the date of the specific? We still don't know the exact date that the form went into effect, correct, Harry? We know it's in August. We don't know what date in August.
Yes. So news reporting suggests that it was changed sometime in August, shortly before this.
Well, the report actually, I mean, the form itself actually says August of 2019. So there's no doubt it was revised August
right,
of 2019.
Right, yeah. But doesn't give us a specific date.
Yeah. So what are the indications on that? Is there any reporting on the date so far?
No specific indications so far, but it is a coincidence, let me put it that
right.
way, a coincidence that the form was changed just before the whistleblower complaint became public knowledge.
When did the urgent concern complaint filed by this whistleblower? Do we have the date of that, Will?
12th of August.
August 12th. So there it is. So mysteriously, the form happens. It all takes place in August.
Yeah, I mean, and what we also know is that sometime between May of 2018 and August 2019, they made this change. But they didn't make it public. So the brand-new form was not public or available online until after the transcript of President Trump's phone call was released. Then they put this up online. So the change could have happened in 2018. I don't think it did.
No, it says revised 2019.
This change between May 2018 and 2019, the intelligence community secretly eliminated a requirement that whistleblowers provide firsthand knowledge. But they didn't let anybody see this form publicly until after President Trump said, I'll release the transcript. And that is key here, I think. So this whole, we'll see what they do. So President Trump released the transcript. And then to cover themselves, the IG says, see, look, all of you out there saying, hey, this isn't a firsthand report. Why is this happening? Oh, it doesn't have to be anymore.
Yeah. So, and Harry, again, we find no law, rule, or regulation that was changed that would have justified this.
Absolutely not. And so the Congressional Research Service generally provides guidance to executive branch agencies, and there was no statutory change. There was no change in circumstances. So all of this is very, very suspicious. And so we should scrutinize both the Inspector General's change, but we should also scrutinize the underlying basis of the change, meaning that we need an investigation of the Congressional Research Service. So this suggests that the tentacles of the deep state are extremely deep and potentially extremely damaging.
No doubt about it. And we're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get to phone calls in the next segment, I promise. So hang on the line if you're there. You can also get in your very important for you to get your comments in also on Facebook and Periscope. We can get those to you right away. Look, these are big issues. These are important issues. But this mysterious form change on the urgent concern happens to be the same time frame as the report. What does this tell you, folks? It's here. It is. Here we go again. More deep state nonsense. Call it what it is. Nonsense. And at the end of the day, that's what this entire matter is. We won the Mueller probe. We're going to win this one. Here we go. But I'm telling you what. If Mueller was a war, this is a skirmish.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
They love to ignore the deep state. It's why we wrote in the next red wave. A big thank you to many of you who purchased your copies, whether hardback, ebook, the audiobook, and are still purchasing them. They're in the bookstores. I encourage you, if you haven't done so yet, to do so. It's done great. Hit a lot of number ones on at least Amazon, where you can see that. I knew it was in some bestsellers on Barnes & Noble's political section as well. They don't really rank it the same way. But what we do know is that a lot of you went out there and got a copy in one of the formats that it's available in. It's obviously still available, and it's directly ties to this info. We have our chapter 4 is Deep State Rises. And what we're seeing here is the deep state rise once again via the intelligence community, their favorite place to hide out when they're not taking this action against the U.S. Government and the duly elected president of the United States. Because when you look at the new form and then you look at the old form, and the old form was the old form until July of 2019. So, I mean, not like that old. Okay. In the July form, this is what was required before you filed an urgent concern whistleblower complaint with the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community. I've got it in my hand. First-hand information required. In order to find an urgent concern credible, that's the kind that goes to Congress, by the way. The ICIG, the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, must be in possession of reliable first-hand information. The ICIG cannot transmit information via this Whistleblower Protection Act based on an employee's second-hand knowledge of wrongdoing. This includes information received from another person, such as when a fellow employee informs you that he or she witnessed some type of wrongdoing. Anyone with firsthand knowledge of the allegations can file that disclosure directly with the IC, the IG there. But similarly, speculation about the existence of wrongdoing does not provide sufficient legal basis to meet the statutory requirements of this Whistleblower Protection Act for the intelligence community. Now, it says if you think something took place but can provide nothing more, the ICIG will not be able to process the complaint or submission for you. Okay, that was pretty clear, right? Like, you can't use secondhand. You can't even use it if someone came to you and said, will you be the one who reports it? Said, no, you can't do that. By the way, it also says you can't use speculation, i.e., like media reports with unnamed sources. But that's speculation, too. Now, instead of that big disclosure, it's a box you check. I know about the information I am disclosing here, and either you can check I have direct and personal knowledge, or check two, I heard about it from others. Doesn't even define what those others have to be. They don't have to be fellow employees. So in this case, it doesn't have to be a fellow person from the CIA. It doesn't have to be an employee of the U.S. government. It can be something you hear from anyone, and you can be covered under the urgent complaint form, which has this requirement to be reported to Congress. This is a way for the intelligence community to tell Congress whatever it wants about whatever administration, this one and in the future. This form should be held to be illegal.
I just thought of a brand new song that I'm going to have the Jay Sekulow Band learn. I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah, that's true.
We will play it during one of these breaks, though, and I'm going to tell Mark Lee Townsend, charge our music, that is the next tune we're going to do. No question. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 800-684-3110. Go in the order they called you.
Yeah, Michelle in North Carolina, online 6. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Where are you in North Carolina?
Greenville.
All right, there you go. Pretty part of the state. Go ahead.
First of all, thank you for your show and for the way you guys present this knowledge. First time I've ever called. I just recently started listening to you guys.
Great.
And I'm hoping to be able to read your book, The Next Red Wave, as soon as our local library gets it, because cool. I'm on a fixed income. And
we're going to send it to you. How about that? We're going to send you a signed copy of The Next Red Wave. It is on. You'll stay on the phone after we are done talking to you, and we're going to send it to you. But go ahead with your question.
That would be great. Okay, my question is this. I've been listening to this over the news and stuff about this whistleblower stuff. And my question is, like, usually in the courts, if I understand legal law correctly, a judge will not usually allow hearsay statements. But here, they're allowing a whistleblower statement on hearsay. Why is that? I mean, I know you've been explaining some of it, but why is that, and how are they able to
They shouldn't be able to do it because, I mean, I said this on CBS News. You couldn't admit this evidence into the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Georgia. You couldn't get this in the U.S. District Court, the county court in DeKalb County, Georgia. I mean, this is not admissible evidence in that context. So they mysteriously, another one of the great mysteries of life, the mysterious form change, which is going to end up becoming the Peter Schrock of this whole story, is my suspicion. It's not just a form change. It's what Harry Hutchison said. What's the rule, regulation, or policy change that justified the form change?
And there was zero change in the statute.
Was there a change to the whistleblower law?
There was a zero change in policy. This is hearsay, and the caller is quite correct. It's inadmissible, and it is inconsistent with the statutory language of the law, in addition to which, if you look further in the law, the matter must focus on a serious or flagrant problem, abuse, violation of law, or executive order or deficiency relating to what? The funding, administration, or operation of an intel activity within the responsibility and authority of the Director of National Intelligence involving classified information. This whistleblower complaint involves none of that. So, in my judgment, this complaint should be thrown out. Unfortunately, we are in the political silly season, and it will live on for a while.
Do you realize the intelligence community, they saw what happened to Peter Strzok with this dossier.
Exactly.
You've seen it, right? They provided a format for where you could file that Russian dossier as in full because someone gave it to you. And you could file it under this disclosure form because it's something that you received. And all you have to mark is that, again, that you heard about it from others. And then that would be pretty serious if you got that, right?
Yeah, sure.
So if you weren't the one that needed to verify it, you give it over to the Inspector General to verify it. But you see how you could get it through the pipeline moving now? Much easier than how they had to do it before, which was all those like USB drives and FISA court things. Now you could just get it through the grapevine, as you said, by filing it as one of these, I just heard about it. Our intelligence communities are at a point now where they cannot be trusted. I mean, it's sad, but we've talked about it already before.
It's really sad.
The FBI, the DOJ is infected. The CIA is infected. The DNI, the NSA. We knew the National Security Council at the White House was infected by Jim Comey's spies.
Yep.
I mean, the president is not wrong.
We're not even off of that one
the
yet.
President
about how was
wrong.
A Jim Comey spy over at the White House?
When he says that
dual assigned.
unless
not forget about that one.
Unless this person is lying about how they got the information, there are spies in the White House.
Yes.
There's only two options here. This person is making up how they got the info, and they accessed it in a way that was illegal, and are trying to say they got it from other people, because those other people would have been elite, would have been are breaking the law
right
as we speak. They should be arrested at some point. They don't get coverage as a whistleblower.
Right.
Okay, let's go right back to the phones. Elliot in California, line two.
Elliot, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, yes, sir.
I wanted to follow up on something Harry said. Harry read the law, so that's the law that Congress made. Individuals can't make the law, but we have the director wanting to implement that law. So the way I see it, when the director wants to implement a law, he has to go through the Administrative Procedures Act and say, I want this form. It has the force of law because I'm telling people what they can do and what they can't do.
Yeah.
And the individual can't do that without a regulation.
You're 100% correct on that. That's 100% correct. In other words, you can't just change a form. There has to be a reason based on law, statute, regulation put in place that makes the form necessary to change.
The caller is precisely correct. Essentially, what we have is a reinterpretation or an alleged reinterpretation of the law, and that needs to be published, and it needs to be published before the whistleblower complaint is indeed issued. In this particular case, the American people had knowledge of this change on September the 23rd, 2019, after the transcript of the president's phone call with the Ukrainian president was made public. So it is incredibly suspicious timing, and there is no justification, in my opinion, for the change. Essentially, now we are allowing hearsay testimony to advance a political agenda, and that is clearly wrong.
All right, we're taking a break. We're coming to the last segment of the broadcast, and we encourage you to give us a call, or we get to your comments also on Facebook and Periscope, 800-684-3110. Jordan's book did great. We got to thank all of you for buying the book. They got on a number of lists already, on the Amazon list where they talk about the specific topics, political advocacy, politics. It was number one. At one point, it was 1, 2, 3, and 4, the various versions of the book you could get, which was really impressive. So, of course, the book is still available. You can get it now. Just go to thenextredwave.com. It's a good way to get information about the book. But a huge thank you from all of us to you about the book, that purchased the book or that might be purchasing the book. We encourage you to do it.
I also know that the bookstores are being restocked this week, which is a good sign as well. But if you went to your local bookstore and couldn't find it there, places like Barnes & Noble are restocking as of this week. Usually they get those tomorrow.
All right. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out yesterday. Don't you know that I heard through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be mine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, there you go. Heard it through the grapevine. Let me tell you exactly what we're talking about. Because some people are saying, oh, well, no, you could always fill out the form on secondhand knowledge. Yes. Not the urgent concern form. Why is that significant? Because the urgent concern form goes where? To Congress. That's how the thing is handled. A false statement to Congress or a willful withholding from Congress on an issue of material fact relating to the funding, administration, and operation of intelligence activity. So this is what the how an urgent concern is defined. And it's based on law, rules, regulations. But again, this form is changed in August of 2018. And it's really inexplicable. They have no good explanation yet. But don't let the left confuse you on that between a regular whistleblower form and the urgent concern disclosure form. Very different. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
Back to the phones we go. People been holding on. Let's go to Jim in Maryland, online three. Jim, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you. I think this form change is shocking, but I'd just like to add, it flies in the face of common sense. How do we allow secondhand information when we think about authenticity and accountability? It seems to remove that from the equation.
Well, I want you to understand what they're trying to do, and let's not forget what they're trying to do here. They're using this phone call transcript as a basis upon which they've started this, whatever it is, impeachment inquiry. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Russia didn't work. Obstruction didn't work. Yeah. Now it's Ukraine. Oh, it's an impeachment inquiry, not a really an impeachment proceeding. Go ahead and vote, by the way. Just go take it to the floor and let's deal with it. I don't need a war room. Let's just go. But nevertheless, that's what this is. And mysteriously, the form changes. Just mysteriously, the urgent concern form, which is of the forms, the most important. All right, let's take your calls, 800-684-3110. But a lot of people hold them for a long time here.
People, though, I mean, you got to understand that President Trump, the frustration level, they have been, this intelligence community, Chuck Schumer made the threat, remember?
Yep.
He said they could take you out six different ways. This is again, they don't like his policies in politics, which a lot of Americans do. They voted for him, elected him president of the United States.
Right.
So they are doing everything possible to continue to take him out. As you said, Russia didn't work.
Obstruction
didn't
work.
Getting Bob Mueller appointed didn't work. As a special counsel, a whole team of investigators that can put people in jail. I mean, that didn't work. Again, collusion, no. Obstruction, no. So Nadler, Schiff, they fail on that. Mueller fails to
then
find
then they try
anything.
To resurrect it again with those hearings the last couple weeks. That
failed,
was a zero.
Failed. And now, randomly, a Ukraine thing, which really is Joe Biden that is engaged in the conduct that is so questionable, and they change a form. It is disgusting what they've done to our president of the United States. And when I say they, I mean U.S. government employees in the intelligence world, the deep state actors. They need to be flushed out. They're only going to be flushed out, though, if they get caught. And they can't be treated like whistleblowers with hearsay information. Back to the phones we go. Michelle in Virginia, online four. Michelle, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you, guys. I continue to support you year after year. Love you.
Thank you.
After all their dirty deeds that they keep doing, what does, like, true justice look like in this situation? Like, is there a chance they're going to get punished really painfully for what they're doing and, like, not get away with it?
You know how you really punish them? Re-elect Donald Trump. Okay? It's driving them nuts because they're doing everything they can to take him out. So that's how you can really punish them. The second thing is, I think the president is correct. I think we're correct. Even if this person is a legitimate whistleblower who took advantage of this change in the whistleblower, like, let's assume that, right, Harry? Let's assume, you know, they heard the information. And this urgent form, which was revised the month that they filed it, allows them, as a current member of the intelligence community, to have heard about it from others and still file an urgent concern form that would be released to Congress. Those others they heard about it from are not protected as whistleblowers. They are criminally liable. They could be subject to prosecution based on how the whistleblower, now, if they were secretly listening in on people's private conversations or hacking in or doing something, that's one thing. But if these people were really actively coming to this person with info that this person was not privy to and thus should not have, they can be criminally prosecuted. So not just fired, but prosecuted. Now, but the problem is, of course, is getting the whistleblower to identify them, to identify the people that were giving this information so clearly to the whistleblower. Or did the whistleblower, Harry, just write it that way so it doesn't make them sound like they were spying on people? Well, we don't know the answer to that. We don't know.
I think your analysis is spot on. So one of the questions, of course, is whether there was the transmission of classified information from individuals who actually heard the phone call to the whistleblower. So we need to know the identity of those individuals, and to the extent that we can identify those individuals, in my judgment, ought to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Secondly, your analysis uncovers a huge problem with this entire complaint. So if there is a problem with the phone call, as the whistleblower alleges, why didn't the individuals who first heard the phone call actually file the complaint themselves? By providing information to the quote-unquote whistleblower, they arguably violated the law. They are not subject to whistleblower protection, nor should they be. And those individuals should face consequences, including criminal penalties and possible termination from employment.
Folks, back to the calls we go. Let's take these final two calls. Gene in Oregon, line one. Quickly, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering, the IG that you're referencing, is this the same IG who did prompt
this? This IG only is for the intelligence community. So the IG you're referencing on the Russia probe, it was the DOJ inspector general who was looking into the origins and the abuses of FISA. Then you've got the U.S. Attorney Durham also looking at possible abuses in what occurred in the origins of that. So this is someone different. But good question, because, again, you don't hear about IGs a lot, and it is a lot of crossover issues here. Ruben in California, final call of the day.
Yeah, based on all your findings, is it not possible to file an injunction to hold back all proceeds?
Here's the issue, though. The information is now out, Ruben. I mean, in a way, the president made the decision ultimately to release the information to be transparent.
Right.
So could you have attacked the form as we know it based off what we know? And I think you can still do that. But we also have to deal with the reality that this information has been released to the public, Congress, but to the public.
Yeah, we also need to be really involved in the reality, and I think this is a reality here, that this is not healthy for the American Constitutional Republic. Harry, last thing here, the lack of a statute justifying this and regulation justifying that, that's going to end up being proven very significant, the justifying this change.
Absolutely, and I think all clear-minded observers would agree with that analysis. Part of the problem we face now is we are in the silly season politically.
Right.
And so that has deprived many analysts of their senses.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow. Don't forget, the next Red Wave is still available in bookstores everywhere. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And we'll talk. There's going to be developments. I think I'm going to be doing Sean Hannity's broadcast tonight. So there'll be more developments coming up.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ.